So, okay, what I want to speak about tonight is the mitzvah of tkias shofar. And actually, I think I alluded to this. I want to pick up with one of the gemaras, the last gemaras that we discussed in Masechet Psachim, as a way of introducing this topic. So the gemara in Psachim, again, we'll manage tonight without explicit Mar Makomos in front of you, but I have Mar Makomos, so I'll try to read a little more slowly than usual. The Gemara in Psachim on Daf Zayin Amud Beis discusses the broader question of Birchas HaMitzvah. Right? The Gemara mostly is interested in Bedikas Chametz and the bracha that you make on Bedikas Chametz, and whether that bracha is with an Al or a Lam. But that's one of the last sugyas that we discussed, you know, before our summer break. So at one point, the Gemara stops and kind of tries to establish the authority of this requirement of a bracha in advance of a mitzvah. The Gemara says, "Dekula alma mia." Everybody, however, agrees that bi'inan levruche, that you have to make a bracha in the advance of doing a mitzvah. Minalan, how do you know this? Says the Gemara, the Amar Avira Mar Shmuel, Kol HaMitzvos Mevarech Aleihem Over Lasiyasa. Because all mitzvos require a bracha in advance of their performance. And then the Gemara quotes the pasuk for this. My mashmad hai over lishna dagdume. It's, what does it mean? How do you know the language of over means prior? Right? And then you have the pasuk, Vayarach imatz derech Hakikar Bayavar Sakushi, Abaya said Bahu Avar Lefnehem. I see Leon Wells is with us. You know, he's gonna remind us again about the Nitziv and the Hamek Davar, right? See, I learned my lessons well. Very nice Nitziv, which I tried to connect to the Yerushalmi. So that's the Shakta Vitara of the Gemara. Then the Gemara says a very remarkable thing, at least I think so. So now pay attention. The Gemara says, Bei Rav Omri, in the Beis Medrash of Rav, they used to say, Chutz min atfila v'shofar. There are two mitzvos which don't require a bracha in advance. They require a bracha in the aftermath of the mitzvah. One is tvila, and the other is shofar. Okay? Then, almost immediately, as the Gemara giveth, you know, it also taketh away, unfortunately. But the question is whether it still didn't leave us, you know, with an appetizing morsel that we can discuss. I think, obviously, that we can. So the Gemara says, you know, what are you talking about? Bishlam motvila dakati gavra lochazi. When it comes to tvila, you can't make the bracha in advance because, let's say we're talking about a ger. That's the simplest case in the Gemara. So the ger doesn't have Kedushas Yisrael. His Kedushas Yisrael is a result of the mitzvah, right? So obviously it would be impossible for him to make a bracha prior to the mitzvah, which triggers the change in his status. And therefore, the only option is to make the bracha after, not before, the tefillah. That's what the Gemara says. Bishla matfila akati gavra lochazi. We're not dealing with somebody who's roi. Ela shofar my taima. But what's the problem with shofar? Okay. So then the Gemara says, v'chi taima mishum dilma mekalkala tkiya. Maybe because, you know, he'll make a bracha and then, you know, nothing's going to come out of the, you know, shofar, or not the proper kol anyway. So, if that were the case, then we should also make a bracha la'achar asiyasan in the case of shchita and mila. By the way, there are some people who think that, you know, in mila, at least one bracha, second bracha la'chniso, Bibriso Shalavar Mavina, that you do make afterwards. And, you know, there are Rishonim who are of the opinion that Kiddushin, you make a bracha after, not prior, because they're worried the woman will say no, and then it'll be a bracha levatala. Anyways, there are such cases, but the Gemara thought, you know, that if tkiya is going to be an exception, what's going to make it an exception? So the Gemara says if it's shema yikalkel, there are other things that are subject to shema yikalkel. Shchita, mila, elam rav chizda chutz minat tfila bilvad itmar. Okay. Tanya namiachi, tova viola, baliyasa, omer asher kedishanu, bimitzosa vitzivanu, al hatfila. According to the Maskana of the Gemara, everything is pretty much fine, but there remains at least a comment. What did the Gemara really think? Why did the Gemara think that shofar belongs with tevila, and that you should make a bracha after and not prior? Was it really what the Gemara ends up saying, which is the Gemara thought it was mishum kilkol? Then the havamina, you know, which was nidcha, is very, very tamu. I mean, what, there are countless, you know, actions. The Gemara mentions shchita and mila, but again, what was the havamina that, you know, that shofar is more difficult than mila and shchita? Maybe, but it's strange. Now, it is true that the Ramban...
Harav, could it be that just like tefillah changes the person, who was tamei and tahor, a shofar changes a person?
This is what I want to, Baruch Shekivanti, this is what I'm going to try to suggest, but I'm suggesting it based on starting with this, but I'm going to try to suggest it based on a few other things as well. But that's exactly where I want to go with this. But before I do, I just want to be accurate. So again, it's only a havamina, not a maskana. The Ramban in Milchamos and Rosh Hashanah and the Ritva in Psachim do say explicitly that the Havamina really was based on Shema Mekalkel. I'm kind of saying, you know, that's kind of why the Gemara was Dochik, because I didn't really get it, but that maybe there's something bigger going on. And I'm going to suggest, very similar to what you just said, that, but I want to just, you know, put it in a bigger context, first of this Gemara and then of the bigger picture. In terms of this Gemara, let me say the following. In the end of the day, the pairing with Tzvila, right, and again, you just, you know, related to it, is very fascinating. So there is a very major machlokas in the Gemara here in Psachim, in the Rishonim on the Gemara in Psachim, regarding Tzvila. Why is Tzvila the exception to Overlasiyasa? So the Pashtus, you would have said, you know, like the Gemara says, right? Takati gavra lochazi. And you would have understood that in a very pragmatic way. In other words, if he's a ger, he can't make a bracha. If he's a balkari, in the time when a balkari was prohibited from making brachos, he can't make a bracha. I mean, it's a catch 22. He only becomes roi lebracha after the mitzvah. And that's why the Gemara says, but that's not true when it comes to shofar, all things being equal, right? And therefore the Gemara goes to, a different option. However, what's fascinating is, in the Maskana, is that really the only reason, or is that the whole story regarding Tzvila? Or is it a little more complicated than that? So if you look at Tosas in Psachim, and many other Rishonim as well, and in the Poskim, there's this major, major debate whether or not the din that a bracha is la'achar tvila is only regarding ger, and bizman a Talmud, you know, when they had the takana about balkari, so it was about ger and balkari because of gavra lochazi, or do we say that since when it comes to gerus and when it comes to keri, Tvila has this special status, and it can only be la'achar huadin regarding other tefilos. For example, tefilas kelim, you know, tefila of an isha. You know, would you, anytime you were to make a bracha on tefila, you would make a bracha. The nusach bracha would be la'achar. Now, of course, that is very peculiar. I mean, if the only reason you know, that the brachas la'achar is because l'maisa it's impossible otherwise. This is the earliest time you can make the bracha. Then obviously, if you have four tefillos or five or whatever it is, and only two of them or one of them has the property or has that obstacle, so that should be the only time that you apply the obstacle when you have to. Because in principle, you should make a bracha over l'asiyasan. So what's wrong with making over l'asiyasan? A tmeya, you know, can make a bracha. And they, you know, you can make a bracha when you're being tovel kalim, and so on and so forth. It's like, what's the issue? Unless you say, right, something kind of like Dr. Maybrook just said, which is that the reason that tefillah is unique is maybe highlighted by Gemaras and maybe even by Kerry, but it isn't only for practical reasons. Maybe, you know, you might have said, well, if it's only for practical reasons, you shouldn't make a bracha at all, right? But maybe for the very same reason that there's a practical problem, right, there's also a better bracha solution. And maybe that better bracha solution extends to the very concept of tefillah, even when there's no problem. Okay. By which I mean to say that maybe the reason that it's appropriate, you have an alternative, and maybe even a lechatchila alternative in tefillah, of making a bracha la'achar, is because it's a different kind of a mitzvah. The mitzvah doesn't focus on the maisa, and not only does it zero in on the effect or the result rather than the action, but even more than that, its ikar status is only going forward. It's the minute after the maisa. Meaning, tefillah is a transformative, I assume this is what you meant, Dr. Maybrook? Tefillah is a transformative process. It's something that, you know, changes, you know, the status of the individual. Of course, that's even more acutely true when you have a gavra lochazi, right? It really makes the man. So it isn't, oh, you're making a bracha on the mitzvah, the maisa, you know, tefillah. You're making a bracha, right, on the tefillah that, you know, redefines, that transforms, that creates a new reality in the world. Maybe the best time to do that, you know, is the moment after, because that's really, you know, the ikar. And let me make it a little clearer even. Like, you know, when you put on tefillin and tzitzis, that's considered, we'll get to this in just a minute, that's considered a mitzvah, you know, mimushaches or something like that, nimshaches, or, you know, a mitzvah which, you know, endures and continues. It's not a one and done, one moment or one action, you know, kind of a mitzvah. But what you could say is you're, I wouldn't say that the ikar, you know, is the continuation. I would say that you continue what you started with, or what you started with, you know, from the very first moment in atifas, talis, and hanachas, tefillin, and so on is the yisod. But, you know, it endures, it continues. But I think when it comes to tefillas geirim, and even tefillah mitahara, right, it's the nature of it being a transformation is such, you know, that actually it's more important, the future is more important than the present. Okay. So maybe that's why, even when it comes to tefillas tahara and kelim and so on, where it is possible to make the bracha in advance, it's still preferable to make it afterwards. For the same reason that you can't make it, you know, in advance, in those two cases, it's actually preferable, you know, to make it in the aftermath in all cases. But if that's the case, so then what does that have to do with shofar? Right? Because, you know, the akati gavi lo chazi certainly doesn't apply. But does this other idea maybe apply? So that's what I think I'm suggesting. That's what Dr. Maybrook was suggesting, that maybe it does. But in order to explain that, first I want to broaden, you know, this first application a little more, instead of only building on a hava mina, you know, that may also, which was certainly nidcha, because we don't make the bracha on the aftermath, and we're not even sure what it was based on. I'm speculating.
Could it be that you're transforming it into a Birchas HaShevach?
Here, I don't think you're making it. No, what I'm saying is that even as a mitzvah, what you're emphasizing in the mitzvah is the impact that it has going forward. I'm not saying that you're making it into a, that is a way to explain Birchas Tefillah. You're totally right. I mean, some people explain that Birchas Tefillah, since it's la'achar, it's not really a Birchas HaMitzvah, right? What we're saying is you can't make a Birchas HaMitzvah, but you could still make a Birchas Shevach V'Hodah. That's what you're suggesting. That is what some people think. That's not what I'm saying right now. What I'm saying is the mitzvah is more on down the road, on the effects, than it is on the action and in the beginning. That's kind of what I'm saying. And I'm going to try to build that parallel, obviously. You know, that's the, I guess, hashkafic analog that I'm trying to find in this halachic curiosity. That's kind of what I'm building on. So let me try to build it on something else. In this same sugya, right, the Gemara in Pesachim, you know, really, really discusses the question of what bracha do you make on Bedikas Chametz. And again, last year when we learned Pesachim, you know, we discussed the implications of that. Do you make a bracha al Bedikas Chametz, right, or Livdo Kesach Chametz? That's a Gemara's discussion. Al, Lamed, what's the proper Nusach HaBracha? Okay. So on the end of that sugya, the Gemara originally thinks whether you say Al, Lamed, maybe it depends on Avar or Asid, right? At one point, the Gemara thinks it depends whether, you know, it's a personal mitzvah, only you can do this mitzvah, no one can, you know, can do the action on your behalf. In the end, the Gemara says, you know, whatever it says, and the Rishonim debate about this Nusach question, because it isn't just about, obviously, Bedikas Chametz. In all Birchas HaMitzvah, you know, there are cases where unequivocally you say Le, there are cases where unequivocally you say Al, and there are cases where there's a debate whether you say Le or Al. And the question is, like, what is it all, where does that all leave us? L'maskana, l'halacha. So it's already an early Rishonim. There were different explanations. I'll just give you the main two. I think we talked about them briefly in the end, right before the summer. One is associated with the Ravid and with Rabbeinu Tam. And that is the view that when you say Al, you're referring to a mitzvah that is done, you know, immediately after you perform it. And when you say Le, it sounds like, you know, there's a continuation. It's an enduring mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that continues. Okay, that is the view. I'll just read you from the Ramban just for a second. Ramban quotes us in the name of the Ravid, but really others quote it in the name of Rabbeinu Tam. Lashon Echad, Kasav HaRavid, in the name of Rav Moshe Rabbi Yosef, that was a Rebbe of the Ravid in Provence. The Bishim Hochi Lomav Archinan Le, the Matzvah Mitzvah She'en Lo Gemar. Elachayiv Lasosa Tadir, Kagon Hanachas Tfilin, Tzitzis V'Kiyotze. Ava Mitzvah She'asiyasa Pamachas, Gemar Malachta, Kagon Biur, Netilas Lulav, Nila, Shchita, Kulan Mavarchin Baal. In other words, what's the rule? Whenever you say Al, you're talking about a mitzvah which is done. It doesn't outlive the action. And whenever you say Le, it's a mitzvah which has continuity. So you'll say Le about tzitzis, about tefillin. You'll say Al about Mila and Shchita. Okay. So then the Ramban says, the Kashali, Shari Ner Chanukah Mevorchen Aleha Lahadlik, Afal Bishas Yasa Gemar Melachta. I don't want to get into Ner Chanukah now. Well, maybe Chanukah time we can discuss it. Elish Rabbeinu Tam Omer Halavitzrichin Shemen Kadesh Shedolekas Mishkiyas Achama. Right, fine. But the Ramban doesn't like it, but one of the ones that he particularly doesn't like is Tkiya Shofar, which is why we're talking about it. Utkiya Shofar Nami, says the Ramban, Hora Rabbeinu Haigon, Avian Shal Yisrael, right? Shehalacha Ravechasi, Lishmoa Kol Shofar. That the Nusach HaBracha is below Al Shmias, below Al Tkiyas. So you don't say Al Tkiya, you don't say Al Shmia, you say Lishmoa. Okay. So if that's the case, he says, V'hani kule mitzvah s'shas t'yasun g'mar b'lach t'anheim, v'afal b'chein, ein mevarchen al. Therefore, the Ramban doesn't like this perspective. Instead, he proposes, you know, the other popular view, which is, whenever you have a mitzvah that needs personal attention, you say le. Whenever you have a mitzvah that can be performed by someone else also on your behalf, use the expression al. You might say, when you're focusing on the kiyum mitzvah and the chiyuv mitzvah, which is very personal, you say le. When you're speaking about the chefza shel mitzvah or the chalos mitzvah, you'll say al. That's the view of the Ramban. Now you can understand that whatever theory you adopt, you know, opens you up to a torrent of criticism or, you know, or at least comment, right? Because we're now going to scour the entire Shas or Tosefta, all the Lishonos of all the mitzvahs to see if it fits or doesn't fit. And I think I mentioned this in the end of our, again, last series of Shiurim. That's why this topic is a huge window into, you know, a more accurate understanding of, you know, countless mitzvahs, right? Okay, so I want to give the a little bit of an example with shofar. So basically what's going on? Let's take a step back. I'm going to focus now, I'm not going to focus on the Ramban. Let's focus on the Rabbeinu Tam, you know, slash Ravid view, which is you say al when you have a mitzvah, you know, that is limited by a maisa. And you say al, I'm sorry, you say le whenever you have a mitzvah which continues. So, says the Ramban, shofar is a problem because Rav Haigon says you say lishmoa kol shofar. That would imply that it is a continuing or enduring mitzvah. And that doesn't seem to really be true because you blow the shofar and then you're done with it. Ah. So that's one of the reasons that the Ramban rejects this theory and instead adopts the other one that I mentioned.
But you have Mea Kolos. You don't finish it one shot. Kiyah Shofar.
Oh, very good. So here you get, that's what I mean by a window. I mean, the Ramban knows that you need Mea Kolos, or at least forget about Mea Kolos.
Shloshim, yeah.
Right? Teisha Kolos.
Right.
Then comes Shloshim Kolos before we get even to Mea Kolos. But it's also really, really interesting which ones, if they're going to argue, you know, which ones that they, how do they argue? Because that also says a lot. So I'll just give you two examples of this. So the Ravan, in his Perush, just one second, let's see if I can find it. Yeah. The Ravan, to answer this question, says, V'chein lishmoa b'kol shofar, l'fishu choluk l'gimel starim, tashrat gimel pa'amim seder rishon, tashat gimel pa'amim seder sheni, v'tarat gimel pa'amim seder shlishi, v'lo nigmar ha-mitzvah, Adlaachar kol astarim, v'lachim varik lishmoa b'kol shofar, shofar shol kol seder v'seder. I think that's pretty much what you were saying, right? Basically, the Ravan is saying that there is an enduring mitzvah here, in that it's not one shofar, it's not even one. Again, if it had been one group, let's say we knew specifically what a tshura was, then he would agree it's a problem, but it's three. Why? Maybe because he thinks that is the Maisa. I mean, the Maisa is Pshuta Lifaneha, Pshuta Lachareha, and Trua in the middle. So if we knew exactly what that was, right, that would be the extended Maisa. That would be one Maisa. But when it's over, it's over. But since that's not the case, because we have to do, Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat, we have to do, Shvarim Truas, Truas, and Shvarins. Therefore, says the Ravan, in order to be Yotze the Mitzvah, you have to do three groups. What will the Ramban say to that? Probably you do, but that's all Midin Safek. Just like the fact that you have to do multiple kolos, per se, the Ramban probably thinks, is not the issue. That's just the Hagdara of what constitutes Maisa. Maisa doesn't mean one physical Maisa, right? Maybe it means, whatever the Shior is. Just like when you have a Maisa Mitzvah of one action, but you have to do it for a certain amount of time, let's say. So here, it doesn't express itself in time. You have to do Tkia, Trua, Tkia, right? And that takes, that's nine kolos. So the nine kolos is one. You could have said no.
But the whole bracha is
because the nine is right? I'm sorry.
The whole bracha is the bracha is the rabbanon. So the rabbanon is the tkiyah the miyushav and maumad.
One sec. Okay, we'll get to that. So I'm just trying to show you, one step at a time, right? So the first point is the rabban says nine. I think the Ravon doesn't say nine. The Ravon says 30. Okay, you could have said nine. They're probably going to say, nine, that's just the Shear. Fine. 30, okay, that's more than the Shear. Everybody agrees that the Shear is only nine, but the Ramban will probably tell you, no, that's also part of the Shear, because it's just the Meiman of Shach to get to the nine, right? So what's very interesting is the Rush in Psachim, I'll read you the language, says the following. Rabbeinu Tam, Hayinosein Tam L'davar, Kol Mitzvah Nasos Miyad, Shayich L'Varach Aleihem. Any mitzvah you do immediately, one and done, that's Al. Kigon Mikra Megillah, Tvila, Netilas Yadayim, Afroshas Truma, Achilas Matzah, Achilas Maror, Avalan Yach Tfilin, Lis Atef Batzitzes, Leisha Basuka, that's Yesh Bahem Shihui. There it lingers on. There's no specific Shior. That's more than a Shior. Valoshan Moral Kach, Lios Mutter Batzfilin, Lios Otuf Batzitzes, Leisha Basuka, Lechol Latayo Kolayom, Bahadlik Ner Chanukah Yeshua B'mitzvasa, right? The chain lishmoa kol shofar yeshihui hafsaka bein hatkios the ikar mitzvah shofar al seder brachos. That's not what the Ravon says, right? Now, what is the Rosh benefit beyond the Ravon? Clearly, it's the escalation of what I just said a second ago, which is, you could say about the Ramban would say about the Ravon, it's true that that's the Shear is nine kolos, right? Not 30. And therefore, when you go for 30, yesh shihui b'mitzvaso, but it isn't really shihui b'mitzvaso. It's just a way of getting, of ensuring the nine. But once you have the 30, you've ensured the nine, right? So that's why the Rush speaks about not the 30, right? But the difference between what you just said, Tkios de Miyushav and Tkios de Me'umad. And he adds, which makes a lot of sense, that the Ikar Tkios Shofar is really the Tkios de Me'umad, the ones I'll say to our brachos, not the ones that we do, right in the beginning. After Ashrei, Therefore, in a way, what you're doing is you're kind of even delaying the main performance of the mitzvah, right? Because you're making the bracha. Then you do the tkios to miyushav, which are the secondary tkios in a way, although you certainly yotze b'di'evit with them, right? So you're making a bracha on the secondary ones, but b'di'evit you're yotze. Then you go back to, you know, the chazan, you know, does a very long hinani, you know, or not. And then you have, you know, musaf, and whether or not, you know, you're being tokeh b'tfilah b'lachash, that's a also fascinating question, right? Or only the chazar sashats. But certainly there are a lot, there's a lot going on in between those things. And those are different categories. So the Rush says, yesh shihui, right? But the assumption is that the bracha that you originally made, because the ikar is bizman ha-tfila, goes on that. That's the Rush. The Magen, the Meiri, sorry, in the Magen Avos, disagrees. The Magen Avos, I think I mentioned in the past, is a work that the Meiri wrote, when he speaks about like 20, 30 topics, where there was controversy, and especially, you know, between Ashkenaz and Spain, they're all trying to establish where Provence, which is geographically, you know, in the middle, and also halachically in the middle, you know, what's there, who are they paskin like? So one of the things he discusses is, you know, these issues of Nusach HaBracha. So when it comes to this question about Tkiya Shofar, he says, Hareini Modia Lachem. Okay, sounds like Hataris Nadarim, right? Sheklalze Iyaf Sharlis Mochalov. This klal of, you know, an immediate or a delayed kiyum. Sharia Klalze Temsrichim Lavare called Tkiya Shofar. Because according to this klal, you should have, just like the Ramban says, he knew the Ramban, he's working off the Ramban, you should have made the bracha al tkiya shofar. Shari mitzvasa, gemar, inyanu. Once you do the mitzvah, you're done with it. V'harei, hakol yodim shebrachaso, b'lishmoa kol shofar. V'afra menu hai, kosva kein b'feirish. This is what the Ramban said. V'im atem mashivim, b'pnei shadayin chiyuva al sedra brachos, lest you give me the answer, no. We're making the bracha before tkios to miyushav. It's only going to be 45 minutes later, you know, that we're going to be actually encountering tkios to ma'umad. And only, it's not the time factor, it's everything that intervened with it, but maybe that's the ikar. So it's really one bracha, you know, which is extending, not, it's not just the shiur, it's different dimensions, different aspects of the mitzvah, which is what the Rosh had in mind. He says, don't tell me that. Hare osam tkios shal seder brachos la bahani hanach sheyachin. The osam shal seder brachos ain trichin the birchas shofar. Shal brachos shal tfila nasos brachos lahem. Right? Kiyots are or, the avos are on the kriyashma. The osam shetikna miyushav nitkinu lechalushim alecholim. Sheno davar matzu behem lisakev be shamam. Al Seder HaBrachos. So the Meiri says that in his opinion, don't give me the answer of, you know, the Seder HaBrachos. He says that's a whole different story. The bracha that you may, obviously the Rosh disagrees. Maybe the Ram, well, I'll tell you what the Ramban thinks in a minute. But what the Meiri is saying is that the Birchas Shofar applies only to the Kiyos to Miyushav. For example, he wouldn't think there's a Hefsek problem. Right? We're very makbid. The Rosh would think there's a hefsek problem, meaning psicha, for example. So the idea here already seems to be that there's a very interesting argument about how we look at certain, how we look at the extended kiya shofar a little bit, right? Number one, you know, the fact that there are 9 kolos. Number 2, the 30 kolos. Number 3, and this is more intriguing, the relationship between Tkios to Miyushav and Tkios al Seder HaBrachos. Now, the Balamor, I'm not going to go into this right now because it'll take me too far afield, but this needs to be discussed some other point more specifically. But the there's a very interesting Balamor in towards the end of Rosh Hashanah. Balamor in the end of Rosh Hashanah says that the Tkios de Miyushav are just a takana, and that the bracha ketzara, right, asher kedushanu b'tzos v'tzivanu, etc., is just a later later takana for this later requirement of kios before Shmon Esrei, but that the real birchas shofar is Malchus, Zechonos, and Shofros. That's partly what the Meiri in Magen Avos is referring to. It's a bit of a radical shita in a way. But what's fascinating is, just food for thought, that the Balamor, when he wants to talk about whether or not there really is a legitimate bracha ketzara for Tkias Shofar, so he says, well, if you look at the Gemara in Psachim, the Gemara does record seemingly a bracha ketzara, but only after the tkia. The Gemara says that you make the bracha after the tkia, implying that lu yitzuyar, the bracha is to be made before, not after, then you wouldn't make a bracha, or at least not a bracha ketzara. I'll just read you the line, you'll see what I mean. It's very shocking. The Balamor says, this is on Yudam Beis on the Dapi Arif in Rosh Hashanah. The minag to, you know, say tkia shofar in advance of Shmon Esrei. Umavarchen aleim birchas tkia. Nearly, this was not a Talmudic practice. How he explains, you know, Tkias Demyushav of the Gemara, we'll leave for now. But he says there used to be people who, you know, either had some urgent need to not to stay long in the shul, or they were ill, and maybe they could mask for such a long period of time, right? Velo notri ad salusa de musafi. They couldn't wait it out. Maybe they couldn't last for the hilani. They couldn't wait it out till musaf. So they made a special takana, post-Talmudic takana. What we do, according to the Balamor, is not Medina de Gemara. It's based on that. And he says, de la matzah b'yachad Rosh Hashanah, etc., and the minag was and is to make a bracha ketzara, l'shmoa kol shofar, right? V'samchulahem amad garsina b'psachim, right? Amri debei rav chutz min atvila v'shofar, alma yesh l'shofar bracha umadbeya katzar. So he says those people who, the bracha was based on the Gemara in Psachim. But then he points out, but in the end of the day, the Gemara in Psachim was Nitcha. So he doesn't really think that's so clear that you should make a bracha. The Ramban in Mochamos thinks the whole thing is an invention. And he says, Omar Kosef ha burcha, ad kan lo itcha le she'ena la achar asiya. Etc. Meaning the Ramban says that the Gemara's discussion is only whether or not you make birchas shofar after, like tefillah, or before. And the maskana, it's nidcha that you make it after and you make it before. So the Gemara never doubted that there's a bracha ketzara. Gemara didn't think that's only a bracha ketzara, you know, if you make it la'achar. It's a very strange balamor, but it puts a spotlight on this same shaklavataria that I was talking about, this Gemara M'sachem Alav Zayin Amid Beis. Anyways, the Ramban himself goes on to say that in his opinion, it's also just inconceivable that the Ikar Birchas Shofar is Malchias Zichronos and Shofros, which is what, again, so it's interesting. The Balamar was of the opinion that it's not that you make a bracha katzara for Demi Yushav and then you wait and you say the brachas al seder, you know, that same bracha applies to the, you know, brachos in Chazaras Hashatz. If even the minag that has a bracha katzara and has tkios before Musaf, the bracha is the Malchias Zichronos and Shofros, which is exactly what the Magen Avraham is quoting. But the Ramban has a completely different take. Ramban says the only bracha is a bracha katzara. Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros, he says, are tfilos. They're not the bracha of shofar. And therefore, you know, what's the Balamor even talking about? Now, in this sense, the Ramban may be very well the Shitasa. In other words, the Magen Avraham disagreed with the Rush because he said, there are two different brachos for two different tkios. The Ramban probably disagrees with the Rosh, even though he doesn't say so. But as I mentioned before, he dismisses this whole shita about Al and Lamed. He dismisses it completely because he says it doesn't work for shofar. Obviously, he thinks that the Rosh's answer doesn't work. Why? Because he is l'shitoso thinking, for a different reason, parallel, but different reason than the Meiri and the Balamor, that the tkios al seder habrachos l'chud and the tkios to miyushav l'chud. These are two different dinim. But for him, unlike the Balamor and the Meiri, the ikar tkios are actually the tkios that you do originally, the tkios to miyushav. The tkios de me'umad, says the Ramban, on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph and Yud Aleph Amud Beis in the Daf Erev, are actually just part of Tvila. They're Kiyum and Tvila. This is how the Ramban, the Shitaso, explains the following famous issue and problem. We'll discuss it more another time, maybe. Valetosis in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis point out that the what was the prevailing minhag about tkios during Chazaras Hashatz are very problematic. What used to be the minag? The minag used to be, or the minag, prevailing minag was, that when you read in Chazaras Hashatz Malchios, right, so you do Tashrat. When you do Zichronos, you do Tashat. When you do Shofros, you do Tarat. Okay, that was the known minhag. And the Balitosis already asked the question, everybody asked the question, that doesn't make any sense. Why? Because the Gemara says we're not sure what a trua really is, right? And therefore we have to do all these permutations in order to ensure that we do a proper tkiyah shofar. But if that's true, then don't Malchios, each of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros need a Tkiyah Shofar. So you'd have to do Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat for each one. In other words, not nine kolos for the whole Chazaras Hashatz, but 30. That's what we do, of course. We do Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat for each of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. We have 30 kolos in Chazaras Hashatz. But the old minhag was not that way. And the question is, how do you explain it? Indeed, Rabbeinu Tam, the very long Tosas on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, Rabbeinu Tam says, you know what I think you should do? I think for each of Malchias, Zichronos, and Shofros, you should just do Tashrat. Because Tashrat already is, you know, Tkiyah Shvarim Trua Tkiyah. So that's good enough. The new minhag became what we do to do, you know, 9, 9, 9, meaning 30 kolos. Now, how do you explain the old minhag? So the Rif and the Rambam both say, yeah, it's a problem. However, you really are Yotze Yedei Chavascha already in the previous Tkiyas to Miyusham. So since you're already Yotze, and we don't want Tircha Tzibura, you know, so we decided to do, you know, Malchios Tashrat, Zichronos Tashat, Shofros Tarat. It doesn't really make so much sense, but since it's only an additional group of Tkiyos, it's okay. Now, again, the Rosh thought it was the Ikar group, not an additional group. The Meiri, earlier, the Balamor, think that that is the only group. That's not going to work for them. But what's interesting is that the Ramban, in explaining the Rif, the Ramban says, well, the Rif says what he says, but we need to explain it better. Says the Ramban, I can explain it better. The better explanation is we're not trying to fulfill the mitzvah, not a separate mitzvah, not the Ikar mitzvah, not any mitzvah of Tkiyas Shofar and Tkiyos Dim Umad of Chazar Sashatz Al Seder HaBrachos. Those Tkiyos are there, he says, just like on a Tainis. He says, you also blow. We don't, but they used to. Why? That's part of Tefillah, says the Ramban. That's why it's a din of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofar. It's not a din in... So what comes out is a very different perspectives on how you understand Tkiyos Al Seder HaBrachos, you know, what exactly it is and what its relationship is to the earlier Tkiyos of Yusha. But in particular, the Ramban comes out as being totally consistent. Let me explain, right? While the Rosh says, Rabbeinu Tam, who says, you know, Rabbeinu Tam is okay, because this is an elongated mitzvah. Because you make a bracha for Tkiyos de Miyusha, and then you blow again at Tkiyos de Miyusha. That's a very elongated mitzvah. Right? And the Ramban obviously thinks that's wrong. Well, now we know why he thinks it's wrong. Because according to the Ramban in Mechamos, in Rosh Hashanah, right, the Tkiyos of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros, Malchus, Zichronos are not a bracha, and Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros are not even a part of the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar. They're simply mitzvah tefillah, accompanied by Tkiyah. That's why the old minug is not a problem. It's not just because of, you know, Tircha de Tzibura. Indeed, this works nicely also with the famous comment of the Ramban in his Parish on the Torah. Rashi in Chumash says, what does the word Zichron Trua mean? Right, the Torah uses the expression in Parshas Emor that Rosh Hashanah is a day of Zichron Trua. What does it mean? So Rashi says, Zichronos V'Shofros. It's the day in which we read Psukei Zichronos V'Shofros. Says the Ramban, I don't think that's correct. One of the reasons he doesn't think it's correct, because he says, Zichronos and Shofros are Dinei Tvila. They're not Dinei Shofar. And they're only Durabanan. Because the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, the very end of the Masechta, if you have to choose a venue, you could either spend Rosh Hashanah in a place where there's a good Bal Tkia, or where there's a good Bal Tfila. That someone who will help you or ensure for you shofar or tefillah. So the Gemara says, even if it's Safek Tkia, will beat out Vadai Malchus Zichronos, Vadai Brachos and Malchus Zichronos and Shofros. Because the Gemara says one's Darais and the other's Drabanan. Says the Ramban, obviously Malchus Zichronos and Shofros are Drabanan, the Psukim. So how could they be the interpretation Zichron Chua? And then he goes on to explain what he thinks Zichron Chua means. But this, of course, is totally consistent. I mean, how you answer Rashi is not for now, but I'll just say this very quickly. You know, the Rav used to say for Rashi, and other Achronim say it as well, that what Rashi probably has in mind is when you also have Tkiyos, right, then the accompanying Malchus, Achronos, and Shofros are Dorais. The Gemara only said if you have to choose either Tfilos or Tkios, and even Suffolk Tkios beat out Vadai Tfilos. That's because the Vadai Tfilos can never be more than Drabanan if they're not accompanied by Shofar. But when you do have Shofar and the Brachos, that's one Kiyum, Zichron Trua. But the Ramban, maybe Lishitaso, thinks that's not true. Malchus, Achronos, and Shofros are Dinei Tfilah in Rosh Hashanah, and they're accompanied by the Shofar. But that's not a din in shofar, that's a din in tefillah. And that's why in Mulchamos, he's adamant against the Baal Amor, who thinks that the Ikar Tkios and Ikar Brachos, right, are in Chazar Sashatz. That's why he has this whole different explanation of why it is that we can have Tashrat for Malchus, Tashat for Zichronos, and Tarat for Shofros. And that's why I think in Plachim, he doesn't even consider the solution of the Rosh. Okay. Anyway, so that's a very fascinating discussion. And I want to get back to it if I have a couple of minutes in the end, because I think it also has more implications. Whether or not, what are the Ikar Tkios? What are the Ikar Brachos? Are we dealing with, two types of tkios or two totally different institutions, the tkios de Miyushav and the Me'umad, etc., and the different views. I should add that Rabbeinu Tam's own view is also a little complicated. Again, Rabbeinu Tam is the one who said that whenever you say al, the mitzvah is over. Whenever you say le, the mitzvah continues. Right? And it's that shita that troubled the Rishonim, because shofar is le. But if you look at Rabbeinu Tam and Sefer Yashar, Simen Shin Mem in the Chidushim, what becomes clear is two things. Rabbeinu Tam, against Rav Haigon and against almost all Rishonim, thought that the bracha of Shofar actually is Al. In addition to which he thought it was not Lishmoa or Shmia, but Tkia. It's Al Tkias Shofar. That's Rabbeinu Tam's view. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, there's no problem. Right? Rabbeinu Tam thinks you say Al because it's one and done. When you finish the Shi or whatever that is of the Kolos, the mitzvah's over. End of story. But the others who had the Girsa, like Rav Hai, of Le, right, and also the Shmoa, right, they had this difficulty. Some of them gave answers, some of them didn't. It reflects this whole massive argument about the relationship between standalone tkios and tkios in the context of tefillah, and a huge debate, about the nature of tkiyah shofar. Okay. Would I like to suggest...
Rav,
1 second. Yes? Go ahead.
I think when we discussed Baal Tosef one time, we talked about Yom Tura.
100%. I mean, the Rishonim ask, that's on my list too. I just trying to make sure where they get through. I think it's what you're asking, right? The Rishonim ask, how could you have two groups of Tkiya Shofar? Right? It should be Baal Tosef. That's what you're asking?
No, but some of the answers to that question points at the Mitzvah Mushah. Exactly.
So the Baal Tosef asks this question twice, right, on the Daf Tezayin, and then again later on in the end of the Masechta. And in both cases, what they say is, there's no Baal Tosef when you repeat. It's a repeat mitzvah. You're just doing the same thing again. That works well with the view. So it doesn't say, I'm not sure if it's an added kiyum. It sounds like it's just repetition. But it's not a separate kiyum. That works well with Tosis on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, being disturbed by the problem, etc. Those who think that the Tkiyas de Me'uman de Miyusha are two different Mechaivim, and different in a fundamental way, right? Or even that just that the Ikar Tkios are the Me'umad, they probably wouldn't have asked the question about Tosef to begin with. Or maybe that would be the answer. It's not Baal Tosef if that's the Ikar or if we're dealing with two different dimensions, right? So that certainly is part of the issue. I'll just add another thing. I just don't want to get into it right now. But it might be very consequential. I mentioned already about hefsek, right? Should you be mafsik? Can you be mafsik? You know, between after tkios demiyushan till after tkios demeumad. Another issue that the Rambam brings up, and that is, let's say, is it preferable at least to have one bal tkia, you know, that does both the meumad, both the meyushav and the meumad, right? Is that considered one mitzvah about which you say gemar? And in dafka, is it a way of combining the two and integrating the two by having one person do it? The Rambam in Perek Gimel, Hilchos Shofar, Halacha Yud Aleph, says that the Baal Tkia Lechatchila should do both. And he says that the Baal Tkia Lechatchila should not interrupt between the two. Which is interesting for other reasons too, which we'll hopefully get to, or if not, another time. But if you think we're dealing with two completely different dinim, or repeat din, or a tafel after the ikar, or an ikar after the tafel, that's going to affect all these questions. And I'll give you another one, since we're at it. There is a major debate among the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Tam and the Ramban in particular, about how to do Shvarim Trua. B'neshima achas, or b'shtei neshimas. Right? In one breath, or with a break. There's also a question, another argument, what that means. Like, what does neshima achas and shtei neshimas really mean? But that's, leave that for the moment. Rabbeinu Tam, you know, basically said, you know, this was the argument, you know, neshima achas or shtei neshimas. Rabbeinu Tam basically said that, you know, when you sob and then you, I'm sorry, when you sigh and then you sob, typically, you know, you don't do a b'neshima achas. Right, you pause, you new transition from sighing to sobbing. Therefore, says Rabbeinu Tam, you know, you need shtei neshimos for shvarim trua, because one is giduchei ganech, sobbing, I'm sorry, sighing, and the other is yilulei yalil, wailing or sobbing. The Ramban says no. In the end of the day, we're trying to figure out one call called trua. And that's one call. So even if the experiences of Ginuchei Ganech and Yulei Yolel would require a hefsek, right, the objective mitzvah is one call. Therefore, you should do B'Neshimachas. Anyways, there's a whole discussion in the poskim whether or not maybe you should be Mechalek between the Tkios to Meyushav and the Tkios to Meumad. Regarding this question. And I think it's very suggestive because, again, the Tkios de Me'umad al Seder HaBrachos are more tefillah-oriented, actually. So, but without going into details right now, I mean, they have other shikulim, other, you know, factors that they throw into which one you should do which way. It's very complicated, a lot of different shitos. But the extent to which we're dealing with, you know, an ikar and a tafel, or just a repeat performance, or an extended performance, or two different mechayvim, you know, would play a very important role on how appropriate it is to split up, you know, not only how many, you know, bali tkiya, not only the hefsek, and not only the questions that we were dealing with before, but also this question of, you know, are you going to say Shvarim Trua for the Me'umad is different than the Shvarim Trua for the Me'ushav, et cetera. Okay. Anyways, so let me get back to one final point. So in this bigger question, if you hold like half of the Rishonim, I don't mean mathematically, but there are two major views on when you say Al and when you say Lam. If you say like, you know, Rabbeinu Tam and the Ravid with the Imam, that it depends on, you know, extended mitzvah or a mitzvah limited to its action. And if you accept the very, very predominant view, not Rabbeinu Tam and Sefer Yashar, but the others, that in shofar we say le. So you have this problem, and you have several suggested solutions. However, I'd like to suggest either in conjunction with what some of the things we just said, or as a standalone based on what we started with.
Could I just...
And I want to just elaborate that, going back to the bigger question now of Tkiyas Shofar.
At least can I just
that I have to at least sketch it a little bit, and then maybe some other time.
Rabbi Rosenzweig.
Yeah.
The whole fact that you make a bracha lishmo koto of shofar, that's not like our shchita, our mila. There's no maisa mitzvah in lishmoa. It's the maisa.
Yeah. So good. Exactly. Okay. So that's what I want to get to. So thank you. Everybody knows that there is a major debate among the Rishonim, and I can't do justice to it now because we're at our end. Whether or not the mitzvah of tkiya shofar, whether the mitzvah of shofar is tkiya or shmiya. Correct? That's what you're referring to.
Right.
Right. So I just want to make a couple of comments about this. You know, it's a well-known argument with well-known nafkamina. What's the nusach habracha? Is there a problem of, the Rambam says, Rambam's famous view is that it's the mitzvah is shmiya, not tkiya. And therefore, ein b'kol din gezel, there's no problem of mitzvah b'avera. It's the Rambam Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel. So there's an argument about the Nusach HaBracha. There's our arguments about mitzvah b'avera, if you have a shofar ha-gezel. And there are other issues as well, that should depend on this question. What I want to point out as phenomena are the following. Number one, it's very strange to have such a machlokas, not unprecedented. In truth, there's a whole shofar. We don't exactly know what a trua is, right? That's the whole rabavo, tashrat, tashat, tara. We don't exactly know what zichron trua means. That's what the Ramban points out. Everybody has a different perush. We don't know exactly whether the mitzvah is tkiya or shmiya. But even more than that, why would anybody think that it should be shmiya, not tkiya? What's distinctive about shofar is tkiya shofar, producing the call, the pashtus. Moreover, two-thirds of the source refers for sure to the tkiya, right? Vavartim as shofar, taviru. The Gemara says, we don't know what a shofar is, we don't know what a trua is, we don't know what we're supposed to do on Rosh Hashanah. So two-thirds of it, there are three psukim. Two of them are from Yovel. One of them is from Rosh Hashanah. Yom Trua Yelachet. Right? Now the ones from Yovel, to the two-thirds, in other words, of the source, is Taviru Vavartem, referring to Tkiya. If you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Yovel, and many Achronim pointed this out, it's clear that the mitzvah on Yovel is Tkiya Shofar. Not Shmiya. So instinctively, is there anything in the psukim that explicitly says that the mitzvah is Shmiya Sakol? No. And the Yovel source, two-thirds of the source, certainly not that way. So why would it be Shmiya Sakol? And where do you get it from? Now in the Rambam, in Perek Aleph Hilchos Shofar, Halacha Aleph, presents the mitzvah of shofar, he says, mitzvah lishmoa kol shofar, shenemar, yom trua yi'alachet. Is the Rambam, when he says that, telling you the makar of shofar, whatever the mitzvah is? Or since he already mentions lishmoa kol shofar, is this also his subtle way of saying that the mitzvah is shmiya and not tkiya, something that he elaborates more fully in Halacha Gimel, when he talks about Shofar Gazel, there he says, you should know that the mitzvah isn't the tkiya, it's the shmiya, etc. But does he already mean that in Halacha Aleph? In which case, is he saying that the pasuk already implies shmiya? What is it about that pasuk that implies shmiya? Let me add two other phenomena, maybe three. The evidence in the Gemara, very tricky. whether the mitzvah is shmiya or tkiyah. Right? There's evidence on both sides, and you have to navigate both sides of the evidence. I mean, the Rambam, who's very, very clear, Rambam has a tshuva, I'll get to that in a second. You know, he's explicit in about the bracha in Perek Gimel Halacha Yud, that it's Lishma Kol Shofar, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel, one of Ein Kol Din Gezel. Nobody could be more explicit than the Rambam that the mitzvah is Shmiya. But even the Rambam has to navigate, you know, some very difficult evidence. And I'm not talking about Katan and Akum. If you hear from a non-Jew or a Katan that you're not Yosef, okay, that's not so difficult to explain. The difficult Rambam to explain is the Rambam that says in Perek Beis, Hilchos Shofar, Halacha Dalid, that you need what's called Kavanas Shomea and Kavanas Mashmiya. In order to really fulfill the mitzvah of shofar, the person who's blowing the shofar has to not only have in mind that he's blowing the shofar for himself, but also that he's blowing it for you. And it's very tamua why that should be. That he has to have in mind that he shouldn't be misasek, meaning that he should have in mind that he's blowing shofar for himself, that's clear. Otherwise, he's misasek. He's not really, you know, he's blowing musical notes. He's not blowing shofar. But if he's trying to fulfill the mitzvah for himself, and you hear him, you overhear him, we'll say, so you've heard the sounds of a kol shofar. Why does he also have to have in mind, right, to allow you, right, to be included? He's just producing a chafetz shel kol, right? Very strange. But that's how the Rambam paskens based on the Gemaras, even though he says it's mitzvah shmi. Not only that, I mentioned already that the Rambam says it's better for the Baal Tkiyah to do the Tkiyah mitkila v'yad sof, including the Tkiyos al Seder HaBrachos. If all he's doing is producing a chafetz shel kol, which is subject to shmiya, why? There might be technical other reasons. And what about, again, the question of interruptions? What's the yichus of the tkiyah and the bal tkiyah if it's just producing a chefza shokol? The Rambam in a tshuva, interestingly, was asked about, they said, like, what's this whole story with shmiyah and tkiyah? Apparently it was a big talk, you know, even in its time. So the Rambam says, I think if the mitzvah had been tkiyah, then everybody would have to be tokea on their own right. It would be shino shemea kaona. The Rambam in Hilchos Shofar, Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel says, if there was a mitzvah of shmiya, of tia, not shmiya, you have to pick up the shofar, you'd have to touch the shofar, and the tshuva is saying there wouldn't be shemea kaona. And none of these things are true because it's a mitzvah of shmiya. But still, there's a girsa in the tshuva, there are two girsas, but the Maram Alashkar says, has the girsa, that the Rambam says, therefore it's a mitzvah of tkiya ushmiya. Our girsa is just shmiya. But if you have the girsa of tkiya ushmiya, like what's going on here? The yovel doesn't fit. The psukim don't fit. Instinctively, it's all very mechudash. Like, it's not only shmiya. So like, what is it? Let me mention another puzzle. I know we have to finish in a couple of minutes, so I'm just saying this quickly. There are two psukim about shofar. Number one, that's unusual to have two different emphases in the psukim. Yom Trua Yelachem in Parshas Pinchas and Zichron Trua in Parshas Emor. We learned interesting drashos from each one. Not only is it interesting that you have two very different psukim, each one of the psukim is unusual. Almost every other mitzvah has a verb. Basukas Teshvu, V'nisim Esnaf Shoseichem, you know, matzos tochlu bayom hazeh, bayerev tochal matzos, right? V'lakachtem lachem priyetz hadar, right? When it comes to shofar, right? Yom churayi alachem, make it a shofar dika day. Turn your day into a shofar day. What does that even mean? You don't turn your day into a lulav day or a v'nisim esnaf shoseichem day. Right? Or Zichron Trua, this mysterious phrase that the Ramban says is the most difficult to crack in all Parsha Samar. zichr, the remembrance of the truah. The Gemara says that even if mitzvah ain't tzrichos kavana, shofar needs kavana, because a zichron truah amarachman, Gemara daf chavches in Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara says had habamina, right, that shofar on Rosh Hashanah b'Shabbos, you know, you don't have, you only have psuke shofros, that's zichron truah. The Gemara doesn't keep that as a maskana, Yerushalmi seems to, but either way. So you have these two, number one, two different ways of, sound like the Torah is struggling to formulate, just say vavartam shofar. And it's all because you're picking it up from Yovel and two-thirds from Yovel. It's so, Rabbeinu Bechai in his Karakemach says, this shofar is an unbelievable example of the interface of Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh. Because without Torah Shebaalpeh, you wouldn't know anything about shofar. Not what a chetzah shel shofar is, not what you do with the shofar. It's all shrouded in mystery. One other piece, and then I'll get to the punchline. The Rambam deals with Tamei Mitzvos in Mor Nevuchim extensively, in Chelek Gimel, starting from, you know, the 40 as the Prakim 40s, especially. But rarely does he deal with Tamei Mitzvos in Yana Chazaka. And when he does, it's usually at the end, the peroration of some big, you know, the end of Sefer Avodo, the end of Sefer Taharos, the end of Sefer Zmanim, right? In terms of the Moadim, the one that stands out the most, of course, is Tkiya Shofar, in the Chos Tshuva, right? Perek Beis, Halach HaDalet. Afal Pi Shegzeres HaKosavu, Remez Yesh BaTorah, Ur Yesheinem Mishinaschem, right? Everybody should wake up from their, you know, lethargy and their slumber. It's very remarkable. I mean, we just step back and think about it. What I'm trying to say is you have psukim that are unusual. They don't really describe any action. They describe a yom, a day, and the effect of an experience. Zichron chua, yom chua. You have a mixed evidence and a fascinating question. Why wouldn't it be just tkia? And what does it mean, shmiya mena tkia? It's just so strange. Right? And the Rambam is extremely sensitive to it. And then you have the Rambam, you know, providing Tamim, a very inspiring Tamim, it's also, don't get me wrong, Ur Yashena Mishinaschem for shofar. But that goes with the whole program, right? It's a program for a Aseres Yemei Teshuva. It's Slichos, getting up early, you know, Tzedakah, you know, other actions. It's a whole program. So I think if we take a step back, what's really happening here is the following. The Torah is hinting at the fact that this mitzvah of Tkiyas Shofar, which sets the tone for the year, Hayom Haras Olam, it's the day of Din, Zichron Chua. Very beautiful comment of Rabbeinu Bechai. Says Hayom Haras Olam doesn't just mean it's a day, the birthday of the world. It says it's like you know, it's like a Leda. You know, it's terrifying. You know, it could all go well and be a blessing, or it could all, you know, it's unpredictable. It could go very, very tragically. You know, Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Hara. That's how he sees it. That's what a Yom Haras Olam means. Day of Charada, of course. So much is at stake. And it's the day that sets the tone for the year. It's the first day of the year. It's the first day of creation. So it's not enough to have Kol Shofar. What we need is something which is going to be, which is going to stir you, like the Rambam says, or Yusheni Mishinaskan, and which is going to leave a lasting impression. Something which you're going to internalize, which is potentially going to be transformative, and especially whose echo in your mind and in your heart is going to be enduring. That's what you need. And therefore, even though the makar technically is partly from Yovel, where the mitzvah is, tkiya is one and done. It sounds to me, I can't prove this, but I think what Rabbeinu Tam says, you know, it's al, and l'shitasa, that means it's one and done. I wonder if it isn't connected with his other big shita, and that is that it's al tkiyas shofar. He does emphasize the tkiyah, not the shmiyah. The idea of shmiyah min tkiyah, where the tkiyah still matters, but the idea is to hear it, right? But when I say hear it, I don't just mean hear it, the sound. You know, what I think it means, recently they, one of my cousins put out the some of the ksavim, my great-grandfather, Rabbi Yehuda Yodel Rosenberg. So in some of the drushas there, he speaks about, you know, this question of shmiya, you know, in the language of the brach. He doesn't say, not the things that we've been discussing, but he just has a nice comment, which struck me. He says, you know, the language of shema or shmiya is not just physically hearing. It's like haskesu shema or shema Yisrael. It means to have a deep understanding, to be penetrated by, I'm adding, to be penetrated by. So when the Torah says yom, maybe that's what the Rambam is saying, it's a mitzvah shmiya. The Torah, the makar is yom tru yelachem. The emphasis isn't on the maisa. It's on what that maisa does, how you respond to that maisa, even better. The program that you are motivated to adopt as a catalyst, right, of that experience of tkia. It begins with tkia, but the shmiya sa tkia, the shema Yisrael Hashem, the haskesu shema of the shmiya. Your response to what you hear, the echo in your mind, all day it stays with you. It's yom trua yelachem. It's zichron true. It's a memorable trua, not for the second that you hear it. If it turns your day into that, and if it starts a program for a Saras Yimei Tshuva, by extension for the year, then that's a whole different type of experience. That's a Yom Tshuva. That's a Zichron Tshuva. That's a Shmiya Min HaTkiyah, where the Shmiya, right, is the Kiyum, and the Tkiyah is the Maisa, but not just in the typical, not just technically, but that's the idea of it. And if that's the case, then we can go back to what we're saying before, which is that the Gemara thought, you know, it's like Tefillah. They couldn't sustain it, okay. But, unfortunately. But in the end of the day, it's still over lasiyasa. But it's like tefillah. What's important about it is it's transformative. It's the response that you have to it. It's the change that it makes in you. And for that very reason, even if you have Rav Haigon's girsa, lishmoa, not al shmiyas kol shofar, but lishmoa kol shofar. But it's finished. It's one and done. No, not at all. If it was one and done, it would have been tkiya. But it's shmiyas tkiya, which creates yom trua, and which creates zichron trua. And therefore, it really is an enduring. The whole point of it is to have enduring impact, to be transformative, to be internalized. And as such, it really perfectly is a le kind of a bracha. Maybe that's also why, either as the same kiyum or the ikar kiyum, or even a side-by-side kiyum, it has the kind of impact in tefillah that it has, with some of the other issues that we touched on. Precisely because it's shmiya satkiya. The kol shofar, the tkiya, is an inarticulate sound, but a very kind of a kol dmama daka, you know, inarticulate sound. And but its impact is huge. And that is what connects also. And same kiyum as the ikar kiyum, as an independent kiyum. I'm not sure. That's the big debate with the tkiyos shel seder brachos. So I want to wish everybody a ksiva v'chasima tova and shnas chayim v'shalom. We should have, you know, Fruah Shalema for those who need it. We should get past the Magefa, which seems to be, you know, making a bit of a, you know, unfortunately a comeback. And, you know, we should, you know, have, you know, Soros Tovos for Klal Yisrael, and a year of Shalom and growth in Avodas Hashem. So I wish you all a good Yontif. And again, we'll continue 2 weeks from tonight. We'll do something 2 weeks from tonight. We'll talk about something pre Yom Kippur.